holy, that you are present with us, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to us. Lord, as we just do a close-up on the series, Lord, as we look at the first three chapters kind of as a whole, and Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we wrap this series up and hear from you, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would lead. Father, just thank you for this time and use it for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And well, it's been interesting. This has been a time for us where you have certain things in your life happen that cause you to kind of, number one, be thankful. Number two, just kind of evaluate some things. And I asked my daughter if I could share this, and she reluctantly said yes. So we had a situation on Friday night that got a call from Alexia, and she was crying, and she was in a car, one of the first times that she'd been driving alone, not the first, but one of the first, and she got T-boned, and really hard. A car was speeding and came up really fast and hit her and spun her and all the way around, and she was in tears at the beginning of the call, and it was about 20 minutes in before that we were driving. We heard mall near the mall, and we knew she was there, so we were driving there, and it was about 20 minutes on the phone before we could really know that everything was okay, that everybody in the accident was okay, and the car was totaled, and when you go and you see, I got there, and when I first got there, I looked at the side of the car that was okay, and I thought, oh, wasn't so bad. And then I saw it from the other end and on the other side, on the driver's side. And a car had T-boned her, and by the grace of God, it hit the back tire and back. If he had been just a little bit further forward, it would have been a whole different story. And so the whole back wheel and everything was pushed into the car, and just the whole thing destroyed. And I just remember, just as soon as I got my arms around Alexia and holding on to her, I was just thinking, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, she's okay, she's okay, she's okay. You know, until you get there and you see her, your mind's just racing. And so it was one of those times where, man, just very quickly you remember what's important. And I share that because I, as we come to finishing this series, my hope and prayer is that we as a church are evaluating ourselves. This has been a series where we've been able to look at seven churches that were all doing things that were most all but one that were good, and that God said, hey, you're doing this well. And Christ said, you're doing well. And then other parts of the church that he said, but this I hold against you. And we started off the series of the seven churches of Revelation with chapter one, which was a kind of a setup to the seven churches. And Revelations 1:3, I don't have this on the overhead, but I wanted to just start out with this. It said, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written, because the time is near. Guys, we are blessed because we read the Word of God. And when we read the Word of God, what's really important in life, it's revealed. We tend to get lost in the minutiae. We tend to get lost in the stuff of life, in the specifics and in details, and often in things that are less valuable. And certain things will happen in our lives where, man, we come to realize what's really important And here Jesus is telling the churches, what is really the focus here? What are you doing well? And there's some things that you need to repent of. And so the summary of the seven churches, the first church, if you remember, I'm just going to kind of give a little bit of a summary. The first church was Ephesus. And remember, in Ephesus, the focus was their love before God. And Revelations 2, 4, and 5 says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have lost your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Guys, the good at Ephesus was that they knew, they were known for their commitment. They were known for their perseverance. They were known because they didn't give in to the false teachers that were there. So one of the bad things of the church was that they were a church that had lost their first love. And man, I want us to remember how blessed we are by God, that we have a God who knows us and loves us intimately. He's involved with us. He cares for us. And I tell you, he's got that, it's not God out there, it's that Father's heart of God. And when I got a hold of Alexia and got my arm around her and knew she was okay, it was the love that a father has for his daughter, even in a sinful man for how he expresses it, it's immense. And God's love is perfect. And he is reaching out with love to us. And this church had that intimate. Do you remember when you first came to the Lord? And man, for those of you who know Jesus intimately and personally, remember when it went from religion to relationship and faith? Christ, and everything became personal in it, and the word became real, not a dusty old book, but the living word. And all of a sudden, things started to make sense for the first time. And the priorities of life became clearer. What is it about a relationship over time where we can lose that first love? Guys, you know what? Who are married. When we're dating, we're putting our best foot forward. We're trying so hard. Everything's just right. 5, 10, 15 years into marriage, Julie and I, 25 years. It's, man, at times, if I'm not purposeful, I don't communicate to my wife that she's my first love, that she's my love, that she's my bride. It's hard to do, isn't it, gentlemen? Ladies, is it hard over time? Things build up, don't they? Things happen. And yet, just like the picture of marriage, that's the picture that God has for this church. It's the first love. Man, and it's important. It's a blessed, beautiful thing. One of the takeaways from this is this. It's not too late to return to your first love. Amen. Guys, it's not too late for us to return to our first love, God. And we will have greater love for the people in our lives if we're in right relationship with God. And I want to encourage you, if you're struggling right now in your walk, you are not alone, first of all. We all go through waves. And hopefully, by the grace of God, as time goes on, those waves get smaller as you're growing in your walk rather than these big dips and everything. But boy, I tell you, it's not too late. God is there. He's desiring us to be in right relationship with him. And there's great blessing that comes from that. The second church that we hit was Smyrna. And it says in Revelations 2:10, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." See, they were being persecuted in just unbelievable ways. They were being so poorly treated. There was false accusations being said about them. And they had to pledge allegiance to the leaders of the day, and they had to deny God. That's the one that they were called to worship. And each year they were brought before the leaders and they had to deny Christ. Try and be successful in a business where everything's taken away from you if you refuse to do what the laws say about honoring the leaders above honoring God. And they were persecuted, and they were talked about, they were killed, they were mistreated, their riches were taken away, they were made poor for standing up for their faith. There was a lot of good things. They withstood the persecution and poverty. They didn't give in to the slander. The one thing that God said, "This I hold against you," was Smyrna came from Smyrna was the one, what was one of those churches that didn't have bad things said. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to be a church where there's not something that says, "But this I'm holding against you"? But Smyrna came from the word Smyrna comes from the word myrrh, which is a scent, a perfume. And this perfume, remember, I hope you guys remember this, this perfume doesn't get its scent unless it's crushed. Unless it's crushed. And so the beautiful fragrance offering doesn't come unless it's crushed. And here, this church with coming from this name is told, you know what? You're going to be persecuted. And hold strong to your faith in God. Hold strong to what you know is true. Because you will be a fragrant offering as you are crushed. Man, there are times, guys, where in our faith, we are going to be challenged. Because we are going to be persecuted and mistreated. It's part of being a Christian. God never says, "I'm going to remove all the junk. I will walk with you through it all. I'll never leave you or forsake you." And so we have God with us. We have him with us. But because he's with us, we can, as we're being crushed, guess what can happen? This fragrant offering that can bless those around us. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The third church was Pergamum. Pergamum trusted the word of God to stay strong. That was one of the good things. In Revelations 2:14, it says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual idolatry." One of the focuses here, the good was some held true to the name of Jesus, even to the point of death. A small handful were holding true to the word of God. The bad, it was a city where Satan had his throne. Remember that? Remember when we talked about that and the connection with East Berlin and how the seat had gone? I won't go that in detail, but Satan's throne, and they had many false teachings that had come in. Many false teachings were coming in, and they were allowing the false teaching. The church was allowing the false teachings to come in. Guys, we know, we've been reminded here in the last couple weeks of some false teaching. Anybody hear about a wonderful pastor who said his church, actually not his church, that his church needed to give money so that he could get a private plane? 50-some-plus million dollars he needed because God wanted him to have a really nice plane. Why? Because he didn't want to be on first class surrounded by all the demon people. Did he really? I didn't read that part. He already had two other planes? Well, two isn't enough, right? Guys, there is false teaching out there. There are people who will use ministry and use God for their own personal gain. Do you see any of the disciples who become rich because of following Jesus? Or do you see the disciples, even the few who have a lot, give up what they have to follow him? Because we are rich in Christ. Don't mistake what I'm saying. But our blessings are eternal. Our riches go beyond this world. It is not wrong to have financial success. It can be wrong if we use it in an incorrect way, just for us. And if we push others down to build ourselves up, that's wrong. But there's a lot of people, I've known a number of people, who by being successful in business have brought others up and used their blessings and even their businesses as real relationships, and ministry takes place in the business. I'm always humbled whenever I speak to anybody who works for one of our elders, Glenn, and hear how God is lifted up in the midst of ministry, in the midst of the ministry of the business. The business is not a secular place we don't bring God in here. It's a place for God to be honored. Guys, it can be well done. Pergamum, though, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And it was about their own things. Next was Thyatira. And Thyatira, Revelations 2, 26 and 27. Say this, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. You see, they were called in this church to honor God and to come against those who were bringing false teaching, other false teaching, which was in the area of sexual and spiritual idolatry. The good, they were known for their love, their faith, their perseverance by just a few in the church. A few people were known for what was real. But many listened to the false prophet Jezebel, who led them to the false worship and sexual immorality. And guys, it's a mess. It's a church that they had allowed the truth of the world, this false truth of the world, to bring in this idea of sexual morality into the church. And right now, we've got a ton of, our kids are plagued with the amount of information that comes in that's sexual by nature, that's trying to get them to have the world as their goal, this earth as their goal, and the things that the world calls success. And I want to encourage us, guys, we need to be willing to stand up. We need to be willing to say, you know what? The things that the world values, we're going in a different direction. And I promise you, if you do that, there will be people who do not treat you well. People who have negative things to say against you. You know, there's a lot of lies that come in, and in this immoral, sexually immoral world. Do you know, guys, that our kids in high school, they're being taught that if they come to their counselor at many of the schools, if they come to their counselor and the counselor finds out that they're not sexually active, they're given information right then and there, an instruction about they might be not sexually active because they could be homosexual. And they should explore this wonderful thing of homosexuality, because they're told these lies that it's good and that it goes against the truth of the Word of God. But if they're honoring God in how they live and they come and they get counsel from the schools, many of the schools, what they hear, I've gotten the papers, I've read through them, I've looked through them. It's been years that they've been handing these out. Not at all schools, but many. Guys, we got to be willing to stand against the false lies. God loves all people, and he calls us to love all people. But he calls us to stand against sin, to love the sinner and hate the sin. My prayer is that we would have people here who are struggling in all areas of life, and we do, right? Because we need Jesus, and that as the truth of the Word of God comes, the transformation by faith in Jesus Christ would take place, so that it's not us trying to convince people, but it's the Holy Spirit, God himself, coming and revealing truth and bringing truth where there were lies. But that's not going to happen, guys, if we don't stand. And right now, I mean, I could name off 10 things that are politically incorrect. But what does God's Word say? What does God's Word say? We need to love people. We need to love people enough to share the truth in love. God loves us enough to not leave us as we are, but to bring redemption, to bring healing, to bring blessing. The fifth church was Sardis. And this was a church of the zombie church, right? A bunch of zombies walking, the living dead. They were walking around, and Revelations 2 and 3 say, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you." The good was some were found to be worthy, a remnant. The bad, they had a reputation in the community for being alive, but they were dead. They did a lot of things, but they did them for the wrong reasons. They did good deeds to be seen by people and to be praised by the community. Doing the right thing isn't enough. Guys, did you hear me? It's not, God doesn't want us to just do the right thing. Did you know that? Did you know if we just do the right thing, it's not enough. It's not what God wants for us. He wants so much more. He wants us not to do the right things to be seen by men, but to be seen by men and women and people. He wants us to be so transformed through a relationship with him that our hearts have been changed. We've gone from spiritual death to spiritual life by faith in Jesus Christ, so that now we desire to do the right things for the right reasons. Now our motivation is important of why, and we move forward for the audience of one. We don't try and please man, we try and please God. And we take pleasure. Guys, do you remember what it's like when a parent, think back, for those who are adults, think back to when you were kids and you did something and it made your parents smile. A mother smile, a father's. When you heard a father or a mother say, "I'm proud of you, well done." There's joy in that, isn't there? And what causes our Heavenly Father? It's not just right action that he says, "Well done." But it's a heart that's been transformed and now is broken before God and saying, "I need you." And now, through the strength of God working through us, we not only do the right thing, but we do it for him. It changes everything. All right. The sixth church was the church of Philadelphia. And this is a church that had no bad. There was no time where Jesus said, where Christ said, "This I hold against you." And it's a beautiful thing because we're going to read from Revelation 3:8. I have known your deeds. See, I have placed you before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. They have a little understanding of the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. They've understood that it's the Holy Spirit that is in them that is just working. And they are getting they've gotten a grasp of what happens when it's God who works through us. And as a result, they kept God's word and they didn't deny the name of Jesus in a time and a place where it was costly. They were promised that they would be victorious over their oppressors. And here's the thing of the focus of where I brought it up as we went through it 2 weeks ago. But I just want to emphasize it. And that is, I know that you see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. One of the things that happens with when we honor God, as we are obedient and with the right heart and spirit before God, God himself opens the doors of ministry for us. One of the things I hear over and over and over is, how can I know God's will? How can I know God's will? Guys, it's hard if we try and look at all the, you know, specifics and this and that. But this says it's not so hard. Because if we're obedient and if we're doing the right things with the right heart, if we're true to his word, and if we're lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, so we say Jesus is the Son of God, and we take the word of God and we say, the word of God in its original writings, in its original language, the three languages of the word of God, is without error. And we hold to God's truth as truth. Not my truth, but God's truth. The word of God says, you know what? I'm going to open up the door. And guess what, church? The doors that I open for you to go through and minister, no one can shut. And later on, he says, those that I shut, no one can open. So that brings me to this idea. We don't want to be beating our heads on walls in ministry. And so how can we make sure we can be honoring God by holding up Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and being true to his word? And therefore, God will go before us to prepare, to have us walk into the good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. And he opens the door, we walk through it, do the ministry that we're called to do. And it's a blessing. Guys, I want to ask us this on this church. What doors are open right now that as we come to him in prayer through the truth of the word of God, as seeking his will, we're going to see that the door is open? Because I believe there's some ministries that we're about to walk through. I believe there's some things that we have been called to do that we're not doing yet. I also believe there may be some things that we need to let go of. Maybe even some sacred cows. I don't know what they are yet. I don't know. But what if we're called to let go of some of the things that are ours so that we can have an empty hand to grab what is his? You know, we were missionaries in Uganda, and you know, one of the ways, you know, there's a lot of animals in Uganda. We were missionaries there for 6 years. And one of the ways that there's all different ways to catch all different kinds of animals. And one of the ways that they catch monkeys in the jungle is they put a goodie inside a jar, inside an opening of a container, and they have the container tied down. And the monkey will reach in the jar, grab the banana, and his hand or whatever it is that he's grabbing, all he has to do is let go and his hand can come out of the container. But he grabs the item that he wants and he goes to pull it out and the object won't fit through the opening. All he has to do to be free is to let go of the goodie in the jar. As we as a church, I know for me, that's not what I don't want to be so focused on what I want that I'm caught in the trap of Satan, that I'm caught in the trap of the enemy of God, that I'm caught in the trap of maybe even doing a good thing that's not what's God's thing. And I won't let go because this is what we're... I've got gifts here. I'm comfortable in this ministry. We've always done it this way. I'm not going to let go of my goodie. And so we are in bondage. And all we have to do to be free is let go of the things and grab on to the things that are of God. Guys, it's God who opens the doors. And what he opens cannot be shut. And then last week, Laodicea. Don't be lukewarm. Let Christ transform you and your future. Revelation 3:17 says, "You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." It's quite a thing for God to say about you and your church. You know what? You're a successful church. You've got all the bells and whistles. Every seat is full. The worship's amazing. The lights are big and hot. The smoke is on the stage. The things are, oh man, it's a performance to like no other. You're successful in the world's eyes. People can come and go, but what he's saying is the church is full and it's rich, and by the world's standards, it looks successful, but it's empty. Lives don't change. You see, you've got the wrong priorities. You want to be successful and you want to have the world say, "Hey, well done. You guys are great." You want the world to say, "We have no problem with you or your teaching." They were lukewarm. They had the wrong perspective. And their reward was in full. As I don't want to get up to heaven and say, "Hey, you've gotten your reward already. Whatever happened on earth, that's it. The reward's done." I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You sought me. You allowed me to work through you. You got out of the way. You died to yourself, took up your cross daily, and followed me." Guys, it comes down to this. I want to turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Therefore," see, we're saved for a purpose. We as a church have a calling. We have a reason that we are to gather together. And what is it? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Guys, think about that. What's the two-letter word in here that's really big? Very important. Go! Go! Means get active. It means proceed forward. It means don't just sit back and, well, yes, God is the one who does the work, but he does his work through his people. And we are called to be ambassadors for Christ, and we are called to go into the area before us, the people whose lives we're in. "Therefore, go and make disciples." What's a disciple? Disciple, discipline comes from the word disciple. We think of discipline as, Well, I think of it all growing up as whoop-chee, whoop-chee, whoop-chee. Right? Discipline comes from the words discipleship, which means disciple, which means to teach, to train and equip. And so we are called, man, therefore go and disciple. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to be discipled. Sometimes there is a little bit of sometimes we need an arm around the shoulder. Sometimes we need a foot in the rear end, right? And so sometimes the way we love somebody is bringing tough love. But even that we do in love. Very important. Never outside of love. Jesus always shows us example. He always brings truth. Now, let me ask you this. Who are the people that Jesus slams? The leaders. Okay, the leaders, right? Those who are called to be intimate with God and following him and leading the people, but instead, they're focused on themselves. To the sinner, how is Jesus' response? Come to me, I'll give you rest. To the children, he gets down at their level. Do you know what it's how different? I'm 6'4" 7/8". And I'm do not have a slight build, to put it. Right? Do you know how little children will look at me the first time they see me if I tower over them? Hey! They will not come to me. But what happens if you get down and you speak their language and you talk to them? They respond. See, this is how God deals with us. He comes into our world. He speaks our language. He's intimate with us. He knows us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. And what is the call? Baptize them with water, which represents what? What's happened with the Holy Spirit already, by faith. As all of these things of the church, we can't come to them apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Apart from receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're going to be playing religious games with people. We're going to be trying to help out of our own strength, and we will accomplish very little. You can't give what you don't have. And if we don't have Jesus, all we can give is stuff. All we can give is things of this world. But in Christ, we have eternity to give. In Christ, we've got riches beyond imagination. We've got eternal wealth. Baptizing them in the Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey some things, most of the stuff I've commanded you. No, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It's a lot of stuff. Praise God, it's a lot of stuff. Praise God, he doesn't leave us the way we were. Praise God, he doesn't just say, I don't give a rip. Deal with it yourself. Figure it out. He's intimately involved, and he's bringing truth, and his Holy Spirit is bringing it into our lives. And we've got to be willing to say, I receive that. I'm going to die to myself. Father, we have to be willing to repent of our sin. Sin is what takes us away from God. It's what causes us to turn our back on God. If we're in fellowship with God, if we are spiritually alive in Christ, if we're born again, when I sin, it's me turning my back on God. He doesn't turn his back on me. Even though I'm still his child, I haven't lost my salvation, I'm not experiencing the blessing because of my sin, because I've gotten my back to him. You ever had, tried to have a talk with a son or a daughter that they've got their back to you? Hey, how's it going? Fine. So how was your day today? Good. So it's kind of rough, isn't it? See, when we repent of our sin, we turn back. Now we're enjoying what we have already. Now we're face to face and we can receive from God what he wants us to receive. But none of that happens outside of faith in Jesus Christ. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Guys, this goes along with what we've been reading in Revelation 1 through 3. I am with you even till the end. He is with us. And he will be with us, and we will be with him for eternity. No matter what your experience. Guys, we've had, do you know, it's the last 10 years, suicide has gone up 42%. That's atrocious. The further in this country that we get away from God's truth, the more hopelessness our people feel and experience. Because people are crying out for something real. Anthony Bourdain, thank you. Great food show. A guy who travels the world. I've watched his show a number of times. I really enjoy it because you get to know the culture of the place that he goes. You get to hear about all these different foods from that country. He's done a lot of good things. He just committed suicide. He's just a little over 60. I can't remember exactly. 61? Healthy. Successful. You see, the things of this world don't satisfy the soul. They don't satisfy the soul. We can experience success beyond our imagination. But guys, we've got a whole group of people. Our young people are being fed lies. Our people are being fed lies. And there's a hopelessness that's in the world that doesn't need to be there. You see, my hope is in Christ Jesus. And I have a security that no matter what happens, I am right with God and I will be with him for eternity in a loving, perfect relationship. He's coming back for us. You go on in Revelation and it's over and over. What's the theme? He's coming back to take us to be with him. And we can have different ideas of what that looks like and how those specifics are going to be. But the one thing that we don't disagree with is he's coming back for us. We're going home to be with him. He loves us. And he's not going to leave us here. This world is not our home. We're camping. Guys, Jesus calls us to make disciples who are dependent on him and focused on his mission for us. If the Spirit is moving you to respond, I want to encourage you to respond. If God is speaking to you right now, if you're relating to, you know, I know about God, but if the Holy Spirit, God himself, is speaking to you and saying, respond to my calling. I'm reaching out to you. Respond. Because obedience delayed is disobedience. Oh, there's some things I want to do. And if the Holy Spirit, if God himself is speaking, if now is the time for salvation, respond to him. Because if you put it off, you're saying, God, I don't want you.
And there's consequences to that decision. Just as I shared at the beginning of the message, I just realized how close I was to losing my daughter on Friday night in the accident where the car was totaled. We don't know what's before us. We don't know how much time we have. Do you know how much slower I'm driving ever since that moment? It's more than the driving. My heart's shaken. The things that are important are becoming clear.
Guys, in closing, I want to ask us this. Which of these strengths, which of these churches do we relate to? What churches have CBF's strengths, and what churches have our weaknesses? It's okay to ask those questions. It's not disrespectful. I think it's important. We don't want to stay where we are. We have grown. We want to continue to grow. I know a number of you have come to faith here. You started coming and you didn't know Jesus yet. And now you do. Praise God for what God has done. But where do we need to grow? I want us to be praying about this. What is it that God says, I hold this against CBF? Guys, you're missing it here. And if God is speaking to you about that, the leaders here, our goal is not, hey, we just don't want any problem. No, we want to grow. And that means real relationship. That means asking hard questions and going through challenging answers. And so there are some things that need to change here. And if we don't think that, we're lost. And so what is it that God's wanting us to say, this needs to change? Hey, CBF, this I hold against you. You're doing this well, you're doing this well, but you need to grow here. I've opened some doors. And they can't be shut. What I've opened can't be shut. But you need to have the right heart to walk through. You need to be honoring me and honoring my word and hearing from me and being willing to follow, being willing to humble yourselves in your will and come to and say, what is God's will? What is God's will? And the last thing I want to ask is, which of these churches do you relate to personally in your own faith? Guys, what would happen? Just think about this. I want to ask this for myself. What would happen in my marriage if I asked myself, what needs to change in my heart? Not where does my wife need to change? That's the easy one for me to ask. Well, God, you know, you gave me this woman, and, you know, just like Eve, she's been a lot of work. So let's have a little chat. No. What is God saying needs to change with me? With me. Wives, what is God saying needs to change with you? Parents, guardians, grandma, grandpa, what needs to change in your life so that you parent in a way that honors the word of God? Kids, what in your life needs to change so that how you respond to your parents honors God and is a blessing? What needs to be let go of? What needs to be received? It's a lot of work. And it requires humility. Guys, one of the things that we need to do is humble ourselves before God. You want a better marriage? I have a great marriage. I want a better marriage. It's not a perfect marriage. It's a marriage that takes a lot of work. Julie gets a lot of things wrong. Oh, whoops. I get a lot of things wrong. But I want to grow. I want us to grow. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to say to my wife, how many times I've had to say to my children, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I blew it. I was selfish. I was rude. Again, please forgive me. I will seek God on this and seek his will for my life in this area. Guys, it's his strength that brings the difference in. It's his identity that we find new life in. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know our hearts. You know what we're going through. Lord, we thank you for this series. Lord, we thank you for seven churches that represent all the different churches and types of churches that have been around from then till now. Father, I pray that our eyes wouldn't look at other churches of what other churches need to change, that our eyes wouldn't look at other Christians and what they need to change in themselves. What our eyes would look at as our spouse or our children and say, boy, God needs to do a work. I pray that first our eyes would go before you, that we would humble ourselves, that we would repent of our sin. We would stop puffing ourselves up in pride and flexing and showing that we have the answers when we don't. God, humble us for your glory. May you be lifted up. Father, thank you that you forgive us of our sins by faith in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you personally, intimately, in faith, Lord, I pray that they would come to me, to one of the elders, to a friend, and that today would be the day of salvation, that they would say the prayer, forgive me of my sin. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross and raising again. I believe. Thank you, Lord. I believe in you. I believe. Father, show us how to bring that good news that transforms our lives to this community. Humble us, Lord. Do what you need to do in our lives to humble us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.